Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we open your word this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and our minds to be receptive, Father, unto this thy word, so that we can grow in knowledge, in wisdom, Father, and grow in use to you, so that we can make heaven our home, Father. Help us to turn from the things of this world and to lay our treasures up in heaven. Now, Father, be with us throughout the study this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, you all know we're in 1 Peter. And we're going to be going into, before I get there, I've got something I want to share with you that the Lord pointed out to me today. I know about it, and I have at times even taught on it. But the need for knowing things like this today is greater than it has been. In my years of growing up, all through my teen years and all, I was never taught this. I was taught really just the opposite. What I want to share with you this morning, before we get into our other scripture, is about the church. We need the church. But what is the church? In Matthew 16:18, the Lord says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But what was he talking about? Now, You know, I'm going to read this to you. So there are folks who think they can live a Christian life alone without being part of a church. But as children of God, we should want to belong to a church where we can have fellowship with others of God's children and work together with them. There were various people in the Bible who wanted to associate with other people of God. So we know that, and we know some of them. For instance, Ruth, she desired to be part of God's people, Israel, so she left her Moabite country and went with Naomi. In Acts 4, after Peter and John were apprehended by the Jewish leaders, they were released again, and being let go, they went to their own company. You see, they knew where their company was. Now in Acts 12, after an angel delivered Peter from prison, he promptly went to the house where fellow believers were praying. Jesus taught in Matthew 18 that believers should work together to help each other, if possible. We should be part of an established church to do that. The church is the body of Christ, and if we believers believe in him and are baptized, we are members of his body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, and whether we be bond or free, and have been all made, pardon me, to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:2-13. Jesus promised in today's key verse that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. There are groups of believers in many nations throughout the world, but they are all part of his church. Sometimes a church building is called a church, but the building is only where church members assemble for worship. We cannot keep all of Christ's commandments and ordinances as individual believers. We need the church. And you know, there's real truth to that. Most of us, we don't stop and think. The building is not the church. And that's why we can work from our homes and just like we are together. We have a service going this morning. And look how it's going. I want you to see something. I'm sitting here in Guston, Kentucky. Kenny is up north in a truck. Amy is in Texas in her home. Yet we are in church. This ministry is church. Why? Because we that are believers, we are the church. Our bodies is the church of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. His word lets us know this. I just read it. And where you can go and read it, and you can even trace it even more than that. So it doesn't matter about that. And we can build this church by bringing others in to join with us through the internet wherever they are, and they can also become a part of this church. And if someone says, well, what church are you a part of? The Lighthouse Team Ministry. That's what you are a part of, if you want to be a member of us. Now, all things will work just as if we were all in one place. I told Kenny this morning, so I'm going to make the announcement now as we are open and going. I want each of you that are children of God to get your things ready for communion. Because as of Sunday, we are going to start having communion as we should be having. You'll need, you can get oyster crackers, which is good to use for the bread. And you can get you some grape juice and have it all there where you can get to it, because we are going to start having communion. We hadn't been having it, and I firmly believe that's why we've all had some problems. Because that is really a commandment. We are to partake of communion. We're told that. And as a Sunday morning, you'll know where and all about it. But get ready. Because as of Sunday morning, we will be having communion. All right. Now, we're going to get into our morning service or study this morning here in chapter 4. We're just about through with 1 Peter. We got chapter 4 and chapter 5. I don't know if we'll get through both of them this morning, but we'll see what God has for us. Verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He's talking there about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is telling you and I that all of us that has suffered in the flesh and all, just as he did, has ceased from sin. Because you see, the suffering we do now is because Satan wants to drag us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he'll do it any way he can find an opening to touch you. That don't mean that that opening is actually sin, but it just left a way for him to get to you. Now, 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Pardon me. But to the will of God. 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Pardon me. When we walked in lasciviousness, lust, and he goes on talking about other things here, excessive wine, reveling, banqueting, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them. But you and I, as the children of God, we can't run with them. Not and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Now, yes, we can choose to run with them and be like they are and be lost and out here wandering in darkness. Step out into eternity lost, making hell our home, and eventually wind up in that lake of fire. Yeah, we can choose to do that. But what is our best choice? Our best choice is to choose to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God in his word, learning, ever learning by the Holy Spirit, keeping all of the word and the works of God in our lives that we know, and always learning more, ever reaching higher, so that we can make heaven our home. That's what I want. I don't know. I can't talk to no one but me. But that's where I aim to be. Now, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. You see, we use, or the scripture has used, the word death for two different meanings. One is when we leave this life and this body goes back to dirt and the spirit goes on into eternity. But also, in the way it's used, it can also mean a separation from God while you are yet here on this earth, still living in the flesh. But you're separated from God. You're dead as far as he's concerned. Until you go to him, go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and be baptized in his name, putting on his death, his burial, his resurrection, and your life changed. If there's been no change, then you need to go back and do your first works over. And the word tells us that also. Now, seven. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity. This word charity here means love. Among yourselves. Above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. The scripture, just charity. Now, you can look it up. If you got a dictionary and all, Bible dictionary, you can look the word up and it'll tell you what it is. Now, although, you know, when we look at things, and until you know these things from the scripture of Almighty God, a lot of words that will come to us, we look at different. You know, to the flesh, the word charity means to give something to somebody that needs it. That's charity to us until we become that child of God and we begin learning His Word, then we find out a lot of things change. Now, 9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. In other words, if you really don't want to do it, and you're doing it really not wanting to, that's wrong. We do it because we love mankind, and we are there to be hospitable to them, and to be of help when we can. That all comes through the love of Almighty God. 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That gift that God gives each and every one. All of God's children has a gift, or even maybe a couple. They'll all be the same. Because God has work here on this earth. He's still wanting done. And He's wanting it done through us. Because you see, that's the way He's here on earth. He's here through us. Now, 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the articles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified, to Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, you see, when we speak, we are all to speak things of Almighty God and to share with each other. That love that God has given to each of us, we are to share that with others, and the gift that we have is to be shared. But first, you have to find out what gift it is that God has given you. And the best way to do that is through prayer and communication with the Father. Spending time with the Father, asking Him what it is He wants of you. Lord, you've made this day, and you have plans for this day. What is my part today, Father? Spend time with Him. And He'll talk to you. And He'll talk to you through His Word as we study. And we all know that. Because as we've been going through the New Testament this far, He has talked to every one of us and gave us knowledge that we didn't have before. Think about that. None of us know all of the will of God and all of His ways and all of what He is wanting. Learn day by day by day as we go through life. And if we are walking with Him and we are staying in His Word, we'll learn these things. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We're not to even think about our trials and tribulations and troubles that come against us. You know, we're not to really be concerned about them. Because He's telling us they are going to happen. But He goes on here in 13 now and tells us, instead of being concerned, you know, and all of that about it, worried about things like that, He says, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So when you are going through trials, tribulations, and troubles, rejoice. Because you understand and you know one thing, because His Word has told us time after time, and will be telling us more again. When you come through it and you come out the other side of it, you come out with more knowledge, more of the power of Almighty God, than you had when you went into it. And then that thought may never hit you again. Now, don't mean you ain't going to have others, because you will. 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ. Uh-oh, here we go again, see. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. You see, when you don't let them get you down, and they go to giving you problems and troubles because you are a child of God, what that is doing really is building glory for you, depending on how you accept it, how you go through it. You see, we're not to go through with anger. We're to go through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is able to get you through it, to bring you out of it. And you go through it with that love in your heart and just pray about whatever it is that has come against you. 15. Oh boy. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Uh-oh. That's really getting things home, isn't it? Now, 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Praise God that you are strong enough and that you're not ashamed to be called by his name as being a follower of his. And give God the glory, because it's he that gives you that strength to be that child. Now, Now here's something else, and we're seeing this today. It is beginning already. We even see it talked about some on television. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Uh-oh. The house of God. Where is it? It's that we call the church. You see, that building that we call the church is not the church. If you are a born-again child of God, you are part of the church. You are his, and you are part of the church. His church. That's why Jesus himself tells us in the four Gospels that his house should be called a house of prayer. When he ran all the money changers and everything out, took that whip and drove them all out, he told me, he said, my house is to be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Now, he says it's to begin at his house. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? We are living in a day and time that we know that God could, the Lord could come for his church at most any time. We have seen everything talked about in Revelations. Either already has taken place or is being done now. Now, there's going to be things that's going to slip up on mankind. You see, when tribulation first starts, most of mankind's not going to know it has started. They'll know a lot of things are wrong, but they're not thinking that way. They're not thinking about it being the starting of tribulation, and the period of tribulation will only last for 7 years. You, as a child of God, will not have to go all the way through tribulation. He's coming before then. A lot of people tell you, oh no. But he tells you. When tribulation starts, there's 42 months until the Lord comes for the church. That leaves the last 42 months to be finished after the church is taken out of this life, out of the world. There are those out there, they want to argue, oh no, God's people are not going to have to go through any of the tribulation. And then you got those out there, well, he ain't coming for the church till after tribulation. He tells you when he's coming. Now, we don't know the day, the hour, or the year, or nothing else. Because, like I said, we're not going to know when tribulation started, according to God. But from the time it starts, there'll be 42 months. That's in the Word of God. 18. And if the righteousness scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, we know, pretty much know that, don't we, by now, through our studies? But we know that they're going to find their seat in hell with Satan and his demons and all the rest of them that has not made the Lord Jesus their Savior. Now, the last verse. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. We are to continue working. It does not matter what is going on around us. We are to continue our work for him. And you see, even with this pandemic, as they called it, with this COVID that started going around, what was one of the first things that our evil government and those that are really not concerned about the Lord God, what was one of the first things they done? They closed the church. They left the beer joints and the liquor stores open. They said they were essential, that there was people out there that just had to have it. But the church wasn't essential. than you was to close your doors. No. And I didn't close my doors. My church stayed open. And anybody could come that wanted to come. I was told, you know, you can be fined and you can be arrested and locked up. That's all right. Find me. Then you can arrest me because I ain't going to pay the fine either. Because you don't have the right really to do it according to the Constitution of the United States of America. Go ahead and lock me up because then you're going to give me an audience that can't get away from me. And I meant exactly that. And those that's in the ministry here with me, Kenny and all of them, can tell you I did not close my doors. Because the Lord says, not. Don't close them doors. No. Just because man said so. You see, we're to obey man and our governments and things, and laws and things that they give, until it is contrary to the law and the word of Almighty God. And then we are to obey God instead of man. All right. We've come down now to the end of chapter 4. We're going to stop here. And God willing, we'll finish with 1 Peter this evening at 6 p.m. We'll be with the last chapter of it. And we'll be going into 2 Peter. So, just stick with us. I love each and every one of you. And I pray for everyone. I may not have ever met some of you that will hear this message. I may never know you. But I pray for everyone that does hear these messages, that God will keep you and touch you and bring you unto himself. All right. So we're going to close up here now and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for peace for Israel. But even more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. In this land of ours, Father, turned its back and walked away from you, taking Jesus out of every place he was in. Father, help us to replace this leadership in our government and in our churches that has grown weak and evil, teaching things that should not be taught. Help us to replace it all, Father, with those of righteousness that will work for you, that will give their very lives, Father, because we know that to give our lives here is gain for us when we step into eternity. So let us not walk in fear, Father, but let us walk in thy love, in thy mercy, in thy grace, reaching out to those that are walking in darkness, loving them also, praying that they will realize that they need something more than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their life to make heaven their home also. They not be lost, Father. And Father, I pray for each and every one that hears these messages, that they, Father, will walk closer with you and more in your word, doing your will, Father, in their lives. I pray for those that are sick to accept that healing power that has been given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, because by his stripes we are healed. Claim it. Receive it. Walk in it. Father, be with us through this day. Keep us according to your will and in your way. And bring us all back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. when we can get to be back into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And God bless everyone. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.